Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Jesus, we are so thankful for in you we feel loved, and we know that we are loved. And because you love us, then we can love other people well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Today I'm just wrapping up our sermon series called ID. Our identity in Christ influences how we view ourselves and other people. And because of that identity that we have in Christ, our lives begin to look different. We begin to see ourselves in a different light. And when we truly embrace our identity in Christ, this does not mean that we lose our true selves, but actually it means that embrace and realize our true selves. We actually become our true selves. And today I want to talk on this topic. My identity is not in what I have, but in who I am becoming in Christ. Your identity is not in the stuff that you have, but in who you are becoming in Christ. How can I love people who are not lovely to me? How can I be kind to someone who has been unkind to me? How can I be patient with my mom when she's been impatient with me? How can I forgive my spouse when they're not willing to admit they're wrong? They're just full of pride. How can I be gentle with someone who doesn't listen to me? How can I be humble towards someone who is full of themselves? How? And so, you know, all of us do deal with these issues, maybe on a daily basis for some of us quite often. Maybe once in a while, we still come into contact with people that might do things that are unlovely towards us. Some of you maybe are dealing with an issue right now that you have with a colleague or maybe a relative or a friend, and you feel like you've been good to them, but actually they have not been good to you. And you want to be kind, you want to be loving, you want to be humble, but it's not easy. So how best do I do this? How can I live my life in such a way that I can love people, and especially love those people that are difficult to love? Be kind to people that actually have been unkind to me. And from this passage, Paul highlights two ways that we could do this well, in ways that we can love other people better. He wants to highlight this, that we can actually embrace. Number one, remember who you are and who you are becoming. We need to embrace this, to remember who we are and who we are becoming in Christ. Verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paul says, before you go on loving, before you go on being kind, before you go on being patient and showing compassion, or before you go on not showing those things, you need to remember who you are. You are chosen by God. You are chosen by God. You're God's chosen people. You are holy. You are dearly loved. And it is from the realization of who you are that then you can begin to love other people. Then you can begin to show compassion and to be kind to other people. So your love, your kindness, your compassion, your patience has to flow out of who you are and who you are becoming in Christ. Because in Christ, you're becoming a transformed person. You're becoming a new creation. In Christ, you are God's child. And there'll be moments when your old self clips in. There'll be moments when there is a fight within you, between you, the new you and the old you. And you got to remember in that moment who you are and who you're becoming in Christ. More especially, that fight, you're going to see clearly when somebody has done something unlovely towards you, when somebody has been unkind towards you, how in that moment do you live out the new you and not the old you? You need to remember and embrace who you are. So who you are becomes a motivation to love people. Who you are becoming becomes a motivation to show kindness. Do I love those that have been unpleasant to me? The answer is yes. Oh, but what if they take advantage of my kindness? What if they take my compassion for a ride? You can love anyway. You can still show compassion anyway, because who you are becoming matters more than what's happening to you. Oh, what if they think I'm an idiot? What if they think, oh, how foolish they are, because I still keep on loving? What are they going to think of me, of my reputation? Keep on loving, keep on being kind, because who are you becoming matters more than your reputation. There is something else that God is building in you. Oh, but what if they don't love me back? What if I am kind to someone and they continue to be unkind to me? The encouragement is continue to love anyway, because who you are becoming matters more than what people give you. Continue loving, because who you are becoming matters more than what people are not giving you. There is something else that God is building within you. Your identity in Christ matters more than anything else. When you begin to live out your identity in Christ, what's going to happen is, number one, you're going to affirm that identity in Christ. You will say, yes, I will love because I belong to Jesus and Jesus determines how I love people. Yes, I will speak kind words because I belong to Jesus and Jesus determines how I speak to people. Yes, I'll be concerned about them because I belong to Jesus and I'm more concerned with the things that Christ is concerned about. You affirm the identity that you have in Christ, but not only do you affirm that identity, you also grow more in your identity in Christ. The way that you become something that you desire to become is by doing it. How do you become a loving person? Is by loving. How do you become a forgiving person? Is by forgiving. How do you become a kind person? Is by showing kindness. And these are actually our deepest desires. All of us desire to be kind people. We desire to be loving people. We desire to be compassionate people, patient people. And whatever we desire to grow in, the best way that you can grow in that or become that is actually by doing it. It's by doing it. So you can still go ahead and show compassion because of who you are in Christ. Out of who you are in Christ flows compassion, flows love, flows mercy and kindness. My definition of kindness is treating someone better, especially when they least deserve it. Treating somebody better, especially when they least deserve it. Because it's easy to show kindness to people that have been kind to you. It's so easy to show kindness to people that have been good to you, but it's hard to show kindness to somebody that has been unkind to you. It's so hard. It can be easy to show kindness to somebody, you know, who maybe you don't really know. It can be so hard when somebody has done something unlovely for you to show kindness. But that moment, that's when kindness is more powerful, when we show it to those that least deserve it. Because in that moment, we are living out the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ loving us who least deserve to be loved. The gospel is Christ loving us when we least deserve it. As Romans says, while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So go on loving and showing kindness, especially when that person least deserves it. Go on loving. Now, we are commanded to love. And love is actually beyond a feeling. You know, like, well, I wanna have feelings of love before I love someone. Actually, that's not how it works. You know, we actually commanded to love. You cannot command a feeling, right? So that means we are called to show actions of love to people. Even when you feel the opposite. Even when you don't feel like loving, you still go on and love. And you know what? When you do, what's going to happen is that your feeling will follow your emotion. That's what's going to happen. I mean, your feeling is going to follow your action. Your emotion will follow your obedience. So you want to feel lovely feelings towards that person who's been kind to you. Go on, love them. And then you see your heart becoming soft. You see that your emotions will follow that obedience. Your feelings will follow your actions. So go on being kind. Some of you need to be kind to your mom. Yes, she doesn't get it. Or maybe she's been unkind to you. But you need to be kind to your mom. Some of you need to be kind to your son. Yes, he's been disobedient. But you know what? People are not changed when we show them how bad they are. People change when we show them how loved they are. As Romans says, it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. So be kind anyway. Some of you need to be kind to that work colleague who just annoys you. You know, no matter what they do, they still kind of like always, even a high, like just, you know, somehow comes to you the wrong way, right? You need to be kind to that person. Or they keep coming talking to me. I don't like it. I want to work. I think you might need to be kind towards that person. Paul talks about patience. That we need to be patient. We need to clothe ourselves with patience. Patience is laying down your way to wait on God. You lay down your way to wait on God because impatient is you choose your way over waiting on God. But when you're patient, you say, I'm going to choose God's way. I'm going to wait on God. So I will lay my way down at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to surrender my way of doing things so I can receive from God. Some of you need to be patient with yourselves. Some of you need to be patient with your dad. Some of you need to be patient with your spouse. Some of you need to be patient with your daughter. Be willing to lay your way down and wait on God's way. But we can pursue these things. We can live out these things. First of all, when we remember who we are and who we are becoming in Christ. So Paul reminds us that we need to embrace that. We need to remember who we are and who we are becoming in Christ. Number two, we need to remember what God has done and continues to do for us. Remember what God has done and keeps on doing for you. Verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. God has shown you grace. God has been compassionate towards you. God has been kind towards you. And it is out of that, when you see what God has done for you, that then you can do that for other people. He forgave you, therefore you can forgive other people. He loves you, therefore you can go on loving other people. Forgiveness. Let go of the wrong, of the hurt, of the wound. But to do that, it's not easy, right? It's not easy to let go of this hurt that we have experienced. And some of you maybe have experienced deeper wounds. You might be here right now. Some of you have lost pens in your office and pencils, and you know who gets them. I think you have some forgiving to do. Some of you have had people slander your name. Some of you have suffered continual money mismanagement by those who work for you. Some of you maybe got robbed of a job opportunity or maybe an education opportunity or maybe a training opportunity. Some of you have experienced misuse of power against you. Some of you have been hurt by the church. You came here thinking, oh, these people are lovely. And then they hurt you. And nobody was actually there for you. Church hurt. Some of you have been cheated on by your girlfriends or boyfriends. Some of you, maybe your spouse does not fulfill their promise. Some of you have been abused physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Some of you, when you don't even want to think of the hurt that you experience, because it's so deep. Remember, I have a friend, and there was a season that we had worked together, we then ministered together. And when we were doing this ministry together, this person would laugh at anything. You just like move something, they just break out laughing. And you could tell the lamest joke and they would just laugh. Sometimes just even like laying on the floor. We had to change their name to Joy to be like, dude, you are amazing, right? And there was a day they started sharing this story and they let us in the hurt that they had experienced. And they said, either I'm gonna laugh or I'll be crying all the time. There might be people like that. But you have gone through so much hurt that either you have to choose laughing, because if you're not going to do that, then you're going to be crying all the time. There's nothing that can make it better. There's nothing that can rectify that situation. But there's freedom in forgiveness. There's a pastor in Canada who said, forgiveness is letting go obey hope for a better past. That I wish that past was better. I wish they treated me in the right way. But I need to let go of that hope. You lay it down at the feet of Jesus. But then when you lay it down, you actually embrace a different kind of hope. A hope that is found in God. In forgiveness, actually what you do is you begin to entrust your heart to Jesus. You realize that a human being cannot really take care of your heart. Therefore, I'm not going to entrust my heart to people, but I will entrust my heart to Jesus. This is different. This is not, I'm not going to trust people. No, that's a different thing. But entrusting, where all of the care of your heart is not in someone else's hands, but it's in God's hands. Because God does a better job of taking care of hearts. So you forgive. You forgive and you lay down at the feet of Jesus. And some of you have to forgive of something that you never forget. Some of you have to forgive of something that maybe the consequences of that hurt, of that wounding, you're going to continue to experience maybe for a lifetime. But you lay down. You lay down. Because God in Christ forgives us. And because Christ has forgiven us, therefore we can forgive other people. But remember who you are. Who are you? Paul says you are a chosen people. Some of you might be treated. Maybe you've been treated like bad apples. But you are chosen by God. People have called you names. But you are chosen by God. Who are you? You are holy. You are holy. Holy means set apart. And you're not just set apart to just be left there. That's actually separation. That's rejection. But you're actually set apart for a purpose. That God has a purpose for you. You are useful to God. So you are set apart. You are holy. You are holy. You're chosen and you're holy. And you're dearly loved. You're dearly loved. God loves you and He loves you dearly. Another way of thinking of this is that you are pleasing to God. You're pleasing to God. And I think most of us embrace the idea of that God loves us. But it scares us to say, God likes me. Well, that's too personal, right? But God likes you. He does. You're dearly, dearly loved by God. And some of you, maybe you have experienced losses in your life, or you have experienced a kind of suffering in your life that you are like, I don't know if I'm really loved by God, but you're dearly loved by God. You could be here Maybe you committed a sin yesterday and you're like, I don't know, God is against me. You're dearly loved by God. Dearly loved by God. And you need to remember that. You're loved by God, you're chosen by God, and you're made holy in God. And because God loves you well, then you can go on loving others well. When you see the thing that Paul is listing, talking about love, that's actually the fruit of the Spirit of God. Kindness is the fruit of the Spirit of God. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit of God. So we are not going to depend on our own power to do this. But we go to God and we ask God's Spirit to move in us, to help us in our weakness, so we can love even those who are difficult to love. We can forgive those that have hurt us. That we can be kind to those who have been unkind to us. Would you close your eyes for a minute? As I was talking, some of you already know, talking about forgiveness, you already know who you need to forgive. You already know who you need to love. And you know, maybe I've been hard on my mom. Maybe I've been hard on that person. I need to be kind to them. I know that person does not deserve it, but I need to love them. I need to be kind to them when they least deserve it. And you know, this is not easy. So I want to call you right now to just offer a prayer to God. That the Spirit of God would help you to be kind, to show compassion, to forgive. That He would work in. Some of you may be here sitting, wondering, am I really loved by God? Am I really chosen by God? Am I holy? That you are loved and holy. And maybe you can lay your life down and surrender the way you say, I want to receive it. Because we don't gain God's love, we receive God's love. So you receive. Just take a moment to just pray for yourself. Wherever you might be, just pray for yourself. Just invite God's Spirit. Just invite His Spirit. Now you might be here doubting if you're dearly loved by God, maybe because you have not given your life to Jesus. We're talking about identity in Christ. This is received by those who have put their faith in Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you just came because you have made church a routine. Or maybe a friend invited you to come this morning. And you are like, the things that you're saying about Jesus are so good. I want to experience that. I want to give you a moment where you can give your life to Christ right now. Maybe you can just pray this prayer silently. Maybe you just say, Jesus, I had no idea that you love me so much. I want to receive your love today. Forgive me of my sin. Have mercy on me. Look upon me with mercy and compassion. I want to belong to your kingdom. Spirit of God, I invite you into my life, into my heart. Help me to follow Jesus. Help me to love Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.